Welcome to Coffee Chat with Lisa. Coffee Chats are spontaneous podcast episodes you will find in your podcast player anytime I have time-sensitive information or just want to share what's going on in real time with Organize 365. These podcasts will disappear as soon as the information is out of date. So grab a hot cup of coffee and listen in to find out what's new. Today, I have a little bit longer of a coffee chat for you, and I want to talk to you about why this is going to be the last Embrace that we're going to be holding in the end of June 2022. And I want to start all the way back to when I was a little kid. I lived in Akron, Ohio, and we lived kind of out in the country. Like, we weren't on a country road, but there weren't a lot of kids in our neighborhood. There were no sidewalks. I always wanted sidewalks. You couldn't really walk anywhere, so we were kind of out in the country. I don't know. Anyways, on this street, there were 72 houses, and I know there were 72 houses because I made a newsletter to deliver into everyone's mailbox. And there were only three other houses that had kids in them, and almost all of them were boys. So I made a lot of games up in my head, and I had a very inventive imagination. So my sister, Emily, and I would have all these different games that we played. And as we were growing up, my mom would literally drive up the street and work in a friend's house. Like, Joan Rowe lived up the street, and she had a business where she was selling clothing through direct-to-consumer sales parties, kind of like Cabbie does today. It used to be called Doncaster back in the 70s. So this would have been in the mid-70s. And my mom would drive up, you know, like, I don't know, 12, 14 houses to the top of the hill. And Joan and French Row had this beautiful farmhouse. They had horses. They had four grown kids. And Joan was like an extra grandma. Like, she was the one that would pick me up from school once when I was sick and they couldn't get a hold of my mom. And I came back to her house and she put me in her grown daughter's bed and she took care of me until my mom could come get me. So my mom would drive up there when I was, you know, in first, second, third grade, and she would help Joan with her business. And in Joan's basement, she had all of these clothes that were in dry cleaning bags. So everything was in all that clear plastic bags. And she would create these cases of clothing shows that would go to different people in different states. So this is like the middle of the 70s. And there were these big plastic cases. If you can imagine, like, a 3-foot by 2-foot rectangle that's 1 foot deep. It's like a shoebox, only the cases were both the shoe size of the shoebox and they nested inside of each other. And then they zipper tied and the UPS guy would come and he would pick them up once these collections of clothing were put together. And they would go to one lady's house and she would set up her house like it was a store and her friends would come and they would place orders. And then she'd pack up this case and it would go to the next person in line and the next person in line and the next person in line. And so my mom would drive up and she would help fill these cases and whatever she did with Joan. And we would go up and we'd play in the plastic underneath the clothes, or we would sit on the floor and have a snack after school while our mom finished working. And when I was in fourth grade, my mom decided to start her own business. And she was going to use the mailing list from Joan's Clothier to create her own business, which was called The Fine Line. And The Fine Line, so remember, this is, you know, mid-70s, late-70s. The Fine Line specialized in selling direct-to-consumer slips and nightgowns and things like that that you would get in a department store. But in the late 70s, slips that you wore under skirts were going out of fashion. Not many people were buying slips. But people who were buying Joan's clothes were buying slips because those ladies wore slips. And they wore them in different size. They were, you know, I think it was 17-inch, 19-inch, 21-inch long, and you could give them in black, white, ecru. And like, my mom had every size slip in every color that you could have because she wanted her slip to match her skirt and she was a very proper woman. I did not have a pair of denim jeans until I think my senior year of high school, and I only took one pair with me to college. If that tells you anything, I wore khaki pants the entire time I was in college because that's just how I grew up. So in fourth grade, I watched my mom then start her own business. And she started with some of Joan's reps would sell hers. And she went to New York City and she came back and she would order all these samples. And we would pack them in the cases. And Emily and I would get paid to fill out the UPS book. And the UPS guy would come. And it was just so fun. It was just so fun to watch her grow her business. And then She had a couple of employees, and they would come and they'd work in the basement just like she used to work in Joan's basement. And so this idea of starting your own business and having people work for you and doing it out of your house is basically how I grew up. Like, this is just totally how I grew up. So I loved all of this. And she started this business when I was in fourth grade. And by the time I was in eighth grade, when she decided to sell the fine line, she had reps in 26 different states. And that's just like amazing to me. Like, it's just mind-boggling to me that she was able to do that in the late 70s and by that time, the early 80s. And why I want to share this story with you was not even that there were all these different businesses or that my mom is an entrepreneur. I think the most impactful thing to me was the way that she sold that business. So Emily and I got to go out to Pennsylvania and meet the person who was going to buy the company. And while we were there, we got to go to Hershey Theme Park, and we met some of our friends we had vacationed with in Florida that lived out in Pennsylvania. And then we actually stayed overnight in the house of the person who bought my mom's business, because, like, you know, bed and breakfast and stuff like that. Like, we just stayed there and we played with her kids. And I remember my mom was like selling her company. Like, it was just such a big deal. And I remember when she got home after she had sold the company, she bought herself sapphire earrings to commemorate the sale of her company. And I thought that was so neat that she got a long-standing thing that she could always look at to remember this piece of her life. And I remember that she wrote a letter at that time to all of her consultants. And the letter started like, for every time there is a season, you know, whatever that poem is, a time for this, a time for that. And she had that letter framed in our laundry room. And I read it in high school and in college when my kids were little. I would see it when I was down in the laundry room. And I'm one of those people that if you see patterns in tile or if you see words, I cannot not read words. If there's a billboard, if there's a street sign, like, my brain must read the words. I cannot gloss over them. So every time I would see this letter, I would start to read it again. And I would always read those first sentences. And I thought it was so interesting that she took the time to write this letter to her consultants as she was selling the company, and that it was so important to her that she framed it and kept it in the laundry room about really making a nice close of that season of her life, which is about 5 years long. I didn't find out until much, much later. I asked my mom recently, like just a few years ago, to really talk to me about, you know, working for Joan and starting the fine line and why she sold it and how her sister and her mom also worked in the business with her and, you know, what it was like to sell it and just some of those questions that I had as an entrepreneur. And she said, you know, the reason I sold the company when I sold the company was because I really enjoyed doing it and I was really good at it, but I felt like I was missing too much of yours and Emily's childhood. Like, I didn't see it that way. As the kid, I thought it was fantastic. And we got to go on vacations because my mom had a business and all of these things. And she said, yeah, I realized that you were entering high school and I really only had 4 more years with you and about 8 with Emily. And there were some experiences that I wanted to experience with you and Emily before you went to college that I wouldn't be able to do if I kept working. And so I sold the business and my mom went on to travel with Emily and I. She took us to great educational experiences. She enrolled us in a lot of neat camps. We would go to Chautauqua, New York each summer, and we would enroll in classes. I'm such a nerd, you guys. I loved it so much. We would go up, we would enroll in classes, and I sang in the choir up there, and my mom would be in classes, and we took art classes and science classes and just philosophy classes and all kinds of things up there in Chautauqua, New York. And her best friend from college lived up there. We went on her boat and we babysat her kids. And it was just it was like traveling back to the 1950s. It was a really unique summer experience. And I had forgotten about that. She also joined the Junior League. She had already been a member of the Junior League. And she proactively created a program that's still around in Akron called Junior Leadership Akron, which is where your junior year of high school, a select number of students from all of the high schools are able to learn more about the city of Akron, judicial system, and the businesses that are there so that they could keep more of the Akron talent local to Akron after they graduate from high school, which worked for my sister, but not for me. I live in Cincinnati now. But it's just so neat to hear in hindsight that the reason why she decided not to do the business that she was good at and that she loved was because she knew she had this fleeting time with Emily and I, and she really had some big things that she wanted to do with us that she wouldn't have the time and capacity for if she continued doing the fine line. Which leads to why this is going to be the last Embrace experience. So I started the Embrace Conference totally on a whim, which is pretty much how I start everything. I think that's how anything of anything is usually started, because if you think about anything too long, you'll talk yourself out of it. So I remember it was 2017. I was at a conference. I had watched a friend of mine think about having a conference, decide to have a conference, and I was actually sitting at the conference. I was like, well, she did it. How hard can this possibly be? And I remember at that conference, booking a hotel to have a conference 9 months later that I called Rise in Dallas, Texas. It was in 2018. And that first conference, I knew I wanted to have a conference, but I had imposter syndrome. And like, I didn't think I was, I don't know, big enough to have it in Cincinnati, or people wouldn't travel to Cincinnati. I don't know what I was thinking, but I thought I needed to have a destination. So I did it in Dallas. Any mistake you can make having a conference, I made in 2018. I had never seen the hotel before. It ended up being under construction. They did not finish the construction before the conference. Total nightmare. The staff there was non-responsive, and I totally overpaid for everything that we got. I totally underestimated how much it would cost and how hard the logistics would be to take my entire team from Cincinnati to Dallas to do a conference and try to ship all of the things down there. We didn't even have a warehouse or anything, and I had to create a pallet full of stuff to send down there. And then where do you send it? Like, it was crazy. But I loved the experience. Like, I loved being with you. I loved being in person. I'm a teacher. I'm a coach. I love professional development conferences. I love learning and growing. And I felt like that weekend was a great time to just do like in-person coaching. And I was able to share that weekend things that I don't necessarily want on a podcast that just anybody can hear. Like, I want to be able to see who's in the room, watch people as they hear what I say, and not have it recorded, if you know what I mean. So I was hooked. I was like, I love this experience. I want to continue this experience. I was so comfortable. Have you ever been in a situation where you should be afraid and you should be nervous and you should be like, this is a big deal. You're standing in front of 80 people. Like, you should be nervous about this. I wasn't. I felt like, even though I was in a different city on a stage in an unfinished hotel, I felt like we were all sitting in my living room just having a conversation, except I was standing up and mic'd. That's totally how I felt. I had the whole entire weekend planned out, but I also was holding really, really loosely how the talks would go. So I remember on the conference started on Saturday, on Friday night, laying in the hotel, running through all of my talks on Saturday and rewriting my entire talks Friday night, getting up Saturday and just running with a totally different program. I mean, the workbook was the same, but the stories I shared was different. And I just, when I get on stage in front of a group and I am talking or I'm being interviewed and I answer questions, I don't know how to explain it other than it's not an out-of-body experience, but like, I am so in flow that I don't, it's just, I think, what I'm uniquely created to do. I just don't get that many experiences to do it that way. I would say the podcast is the closest I get. So I remember on Sunday, I did my talks in the morning, and afterwards, I asked people to share their breakthroughs from the conference, and I had budgeted like 30 minutes for it. And it just took on a life of its own. Like, people started sharing. I'll never forget one of the first people that came up, they said, I came here to plan my divorce, and now I'm ready to recommit to my marriage. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, wow. And I had been standing there like passing the microphone, and I just sat down and I started listening, and it went on for 2 hours. And like, the team was going, Lisa, we're not on schedule. I said, oh, no, we are perfectly on schedule. This is perfectly on schedule. And then I closed it out. And then the next year in 2019, we did bring it to Cincinnati, and I learned from some of my mistakes. I will tell you that. And I changed the name from Rise to Embrace because in 2018, I found Rachel Hollis at a conference called Rise. I was pretty sure she was going to grow faster than me, so I changed the name of my conference to Embrace. So it was Embrace in 2019 here in Cincinnati. It was live. It was in person. It was everything I could ever hope or imagine. I had a U-Haul van that we brought everything back and forth from our little tiny warehouse to the conference. I drove the U-Haul in my dress and my heels. I mean, like, it was like, I cannot explain it. It was like, it is a conference. It's totally put on professionally, but it's like I'm meeting you at your house for coffee and I'm just coming over in my minivan that's actually a U-Haul. That's how it was that year. And then I made the announcement that 2020 was going to be the last time that we did the Embrace Conference. Attendance was not really where it needed to be. It's a lot. It's a lot for me to create the content for Embrace, to write all of the talks, to do the new workbook, for the team to order in all the gifts, for us to create all the packages, to get to rent the space, to do the food, to do the registrations, all the things. I mean, it takes so much time of the whole team away for two quarters in our business. I was like, this is just not really working. And then the pandemic happened. And I realized that we needed Embrace more than ever. And 150 of you joined us in 2020 before I stopped registration. Last year, 300 of you joined us before I stopped registration. And then this year, we just have not had very many people join us for the registration. And I said to the team last week, I said, yeah, I knew it. 2 years ago, the Embrace life cycle had just kind of gone through its life cycle. It's not good. It's not bad. We're not a live events company. You know, we're a transformation home organization company. Embrace is just something I have loved to do. I think it was great for a season, but it's not a forever thing. And it's time for it to come to an end. And the COVID pandemic gave the Embrace experience a little extra life in a time when we really needed to feel connected and joined together, and allowed me to create a virtual experience that I thought I could not have in the way I was having an in-person one. And I'm so glad that I did it. But now I think that this will be our fifth Embrace. It will be our last Embrace. I cannot wait to see those of you that are joining us in person or virtually, but I just want to let you know, this is going to be the last one. I'm not going to change my mind. Please don't have another pandemic so I have to change my mind. It's just time for us to move on to what is the next season. And the next season for me is I want to be speaking on more stages and be speaking to corporations and at other people's conferences and things like that, as opposed to creating my own. So long story to say, I have so enjoyed this season of creating and hosting the Embrace Conference. This will be the last one. So if you haven't attended before and you want to attend, I invite you to join us in Cincinnati at the end of June in person or virtually online. There will be replays that will come out about a week later, and you'll be able to watch those replays until Labor Day of 2022. And then this season of Embrace will have come to an end. And I'm super excited for whatever the next season is of something like this in Organize 365. But I know that, and I have experienced that, until you let go of one thing, your hands can't be open enough to receive the next thing. And I've known for a while, it's time for us to let go of Embrace. And I'm drawing a line in the sand and I'm saying, this is the year. This is going to be the last Embrace experience. If you want to join us, go to organize365.com/events and you can find all of the information there.